This episode of Finding Fairways was pre-recorded and a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is in studio with the director of golf from Forest Dunes, Don Holinsky. And Don, you brought in a guest who's all of a sudden becoming a little bit famous.
Well, yes, another one of the hidden gems of Northern Michigan that maybe doesn't get as much publicity as some of the others, and one of the oldest courses, if not the oldest course, up there on Mackinac Island, Washkomo. A lot of us have heard about the course from Tom Coyne's book, A Course Called America. In fact, I had the opportunity to play with Tom at Forest Dunes, played the loop in the morning, Forest Dunes in the afternoon. The next morning, we played the other routing of the loop, and after that, on his incredible journey that he was undertaking, was heading north to Mackinac Island, and I guess in a good way, I didn't say anything and ask him more about his trip, because for those of you who read the book, he did not expect Mackinac Island to be what we all know Mackinac Island to be. With us today is Chuck Olson, the head golf professional up there at the course. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, you guys, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, Chuck, as we were talking off air, I first found out about Washkomo a few years ago when Kevin Frisch asked you to be on the program with us, and so I had a little bit of background on it, and then the way that Tom Coyne fleshes out the story of his total confusion on how to get on Mackinac Island and where the golf course was is just priceless, and one of the highlights of one of the greatest golf books I've ever had the pleasure of reading. So why don't you pick up the story from your end? I know you were expecting Tom at one point in time, and he was rather late.
Well, you know, just in the fact that golfing on Mackinac Island is not like any place else on Earth. It's kind of planes, trains, and automobiles. So, you know, you first have to get out of your car and get on a ferry. And then you have to get from downtown up to the golf course, which doesn't sound like much. It's a couple miles. But, you know, you don't have a car. You have to find a horse-drawn carriage or a taxi to get up here or ride a bike. It's not the easiest place to find once you start the journey. And everything takes a little bit more time on Mackinac than it does anywhere else because transportation is a little more interesting. Let's just put it that way. And we kind of like to kind of coin it or try to phrase it that it's a part of the experience. You just can't be in a hurry if you if you want to play golf on Mackinac.
No, you know, it's funny. I had Tom on. I've had Tom on the program once a year, even before the book was on, and he was our guest just a few weeks ago. Not only did he talk about the difficulty of being shocked that there was no bridge to the island and he had to take a ferry and there was no cars on the ferry, and then, you know, he's used to walking, right, Don? He is a avowed walker, and so he just strapped his bags on and walked from the ferry and assumed that your course was the jewel. And I was kidding Tom. I go, not only is that a long walk, it's all uphill. So, and then he gets to the jewel.
Yeah, you know, if you haven't done it, it's not like one hill. There's like four, you know. And it, you know, if you're carrying your bag, you better be ready to go because it's not an easy walk.
No, and then of course you guys are well behind the jewel on the other side of the island. So, do you remember an exasperated Tom Coyne showing up in the pro shop 3 hours after?
I do remember talking to him, and I do remember him explaining that it had been somewhat of a trip to get here. And, you know, I think it was I just tried to give him as much of a, you know, the history of the place and tried to, you know, kind of change the tune as soon as I could. But, yeah, It's quite a jaunt from downtown up to Washkomo if you're not ready.
Chuck, tell us a little bit about the course. Much like a lot of things on the island, it is a history lesson in a way. Tell us when it was built, and I know there's some various historical signs and displays throughout the course as well.
Yeah, you know, I've been in this is my 45th year in the golf business, and you know, I was a history major for a couple of years in college, and I really do enjoy historical things. And, you know, there aren't too many places in the state of Michigan or, you know, anywhere near here that has history that goes back as far as Mackinac and Wawashkamo. You know, the first thing that happened on the ground that is now Wawashkamo was in 1814, the British and the Americans had a battle on our first, fifth, and sixth fairways, which was a farm at the time, and in 1814. So, you know, there aren't, like I said, there aren't too many golf courses that go back that far. So on our first tee box, there is a actual replica 1812 cannon where the actual British had their cannons, you know, facing the Americans as they came up the hill that day in August in 1814. So, you know, historically, it goes back a long, long ways. And then after you get past the battle and all of that in early in the early 1800s, you know, they started the golf course in 1898. And some folks from the that owned some bluff houses here on Mackinac were from Chicago. And they had like a little three-hole golf course they'd kind of constructed by themselves. They wanted a full nine-hole golf course. And they were from Chicago, and they found a guy named Alex Smith, who was a very famous Scottish golfer in his time and professional, and brought him up here in 1898 and designed them a golf course. So that was the origins of how Wawashkamo got started.
So that does that make that the oldest golf course in the state of Michigan, Chuck?
No, it's okay. Close. I think the first one was either 1894 or 1895, and there's some variances to, you know, I think it was actually the little municipal in Charlevoix might be the earliest, which was, I think, 1894, but there's a couple in 1896, and they'd probably be in the first five or six, but the,
right.
The greatest thing is that if you took all those golf courses, I'm sure that Wawashkamo is the one that has changed the least.
Right.
We have never had a renovation in our 123-year history. You know, the building was built in 1899. You know, we still have the original lockers, you know, the vented old lockers you find in real old clubhouses. They're still here. They're still in use. We have a caddy shack across the way that, you know, I still have 90-year-old guys that come in here and say that as 10-year-olds, they used to sit in there and, you know, and do loops.
Awesome.
It's a really cool place. It's, you know, there's a sitting room in our clubhouse that, you know, has a piano from 1892 in it, and, you know, the trophies go back into the early 1900s, and, you know, it just looks like some place that has been here a long, long time and hasn't been changed, and that's really the goal. You know, we're really more interested in being something that would be a little more like Carnoustie than Augusta. You know, it's
right.
It just has a whole different flavor to it. When you play it, it feels like something your grandpa would have played on, you know, in 1920. And and that's really the way we like it. It's like I said, it is it's kind of kept in a different fashion. If you think about it, everything out there was done with a horse and a plow and some shovels. Never been a bulldozers and stuff that came in and made it into something else. You know, all the greens are kind of flat to the ground and real small. All the things you'd be doing if you were doing it with a horse.
All that history and the old-time essence of the course, it has become a bucket list destination for Hickory players, correct?
Yeah, that's a, you know, we do have two Hickory tournaments every year. We're not on the Hickory Stick, you know, tournament schedule. We do a fundraiser for the club in August called the National Hickory Stick, the Wawashkamo Hickory Stick Invitational, and we do it, but ours are scrambles. So we don't have any stroke play events here, but we do have two Hickory events. We probably have, 30 members that have full sets. But we certainly appreciate that style of golf. You could play golf with Hickories on our golf course quite easily. You know, if you played both nines, the same nine from the different tee boxes that we use, you know, it's about 6,000 yards. So it's very easily done. And again, remember, because they haven't redesigned it, you know, all the greens are flat to the ground, so hitting hickories and bumping and running and all that kind of stuff are very, very doable at Wawa.
Chuck, so obviously you've played it with hickories, right?
I have.
So,
and I'm not worth a dang at it if you really want to know the truth. But
having never
but
done
there
it,
are guys who are the. You know, go ahead.
No. I know that that was asked of Tom, and he decided not to do it, and then later on played hickories. It's kind of an interesting link inside the book. In fact, I think when he showed up, you guys were having a member event, and most of the people were in plus fours and suits and ties. And explain to it, especially as a golf professional, talk about how different it is to try to hit the golf ball with the hickory shaft and the old equipment as opposed to the modern game, if you can.
Well, you know, I think that you just have to remember that the flex of those shafts are way different than a steel or a modern graphite club. And, with the irons, they all have very sharp edges on them. So, they're not really meant for hitting, big fat divots. They're kind of, on the irons, always feel like I have to kind of pick them.
Right.
And, so that's one thing. They're just not meant to be driven into the ground quite as hard. The shafts break in them, a little more easily. We always break a couple every summer. We rent hickory stick clubs, so we have six sets of rentals. So, we always try to explain it to the people that, if you hit them with big divots, it isn't going to go quite as well. The heads of the drivers are so small that, you're not teeing it up, 4 inches off the ground and trying to take a wild swoop at it. So those are the kind of things that I just noticed when I played with them, that you just have to have a little bit more finesse and not quite so much power, I would say.
Yeah, I part of me is beguiled by the thought, other than I have trouble getting my own rental clubs anyways, Don, so I don't know how far I'd be bending over.
You need a lot of long hickory trees for a set for you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm 6'7", so it's going to be a challenge with the hickories. Although, it just seems like that would be the thing to do.
Oh, absolutely, you would have to, and you kind of referenced a second ago Chuck teeing it up. That is another unique thing about Wawashkamo is on the first tee. Tell us a little bit about what's there as well.
Well, we do have an old box there that was from the olden days where they just have a little cup of water there and sand, and you can build your own sand tee on the first tee box.
Yeah, I love that thought. When we return here on Finding Fairways, we'll continue our discussion with Chuck Olson from Wawashkamo on Mackinac Island and just talk about how charm meets the actual game of golf. That's all that and more on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. It's time to check in with our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle's on the phone with me. And, Tim, a very exciting finish to the Rocket Mortgage Classic, and I know it just primed the pump even more for Michigan golfers to get out on the course and get some new stuff.
Yeah, it was a great looked like it was a pretty good turnout downtown. Yeah, we certainly had a lot of people, and there was a nice buzz around the shop regarding the, the local tournament and everything like that, and hopefully now, it's, at least locally, it's not too hot and people can get out and enjoy some golf.
No, and this coming week we've got the LPGA gals in Midland. That's exciting as well. I have the guys in, the girls in a little later on. We'll have the seniors back at Warwick. So it's glad to have Michigan back on the tournament map.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure.
So you and I were talking off air. You've got pings back in stock.
Yeah, this year has been a challenge, obviously, for everybody. And a lot of the manufacturers when it comes to, getting product and getting it built in here. And, we received a decent amount of the G425 drivers, some iron sets as well back in stock, which I know a lot of people have been after this year. Our fitters have tested it. It's one of the top performers of 2021 so far this year for sure.
Well, and speaking of your club fitters, you guys won the highest accolades you can win for club fitting.
Yeah, that's some big news for us. We're really excited to kind of announce that we've been named to the prestigious list from Golf Digest of America's Best Club Fitters, which we recently were notified them. both of our store locations. So that's very exciting, obviously, for those that come out and fit here. They know what they're getting themselves into, but we like to pride ourselves on things like that. So yeah, Golf Digest, America's Best Club Fitters, we're pretty excited about it.
Now, my experience with your club fitter, Sean, was world class. The irons that he ended up fitting with me, I hit 15 yards longer and more accurately. So anybody ask me about getting fit for clubs, Carl's is my answer.
Beautiful. Well, we appreciate that.
Well, Tim, we've got the big flash sales coming up next week when we get to the Open Championship. So we'll talk to you next week and keep hitting them straight.
Sounds great. Thank you, Gary. Have a good week.
Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Don Helinski, the director of golf from Forest Dunes, and the head professional at Wawashkamo Golf Club on Mackinac Island, Chuck Olson. And Chuck, just before we get back into charm, there is golf played on a daily basis at Wawashkamo. So you were talking a little bit about making the sand tee on the first tee box. What is the percentage of rounds played daily or weekly with hickories versus normal modern equipment?
Well, I would say that most people, of course, would use their own clubs. You know, we certainly have people who make the trip here. I'll see them come off the carriage taxi.
Right.
And they'll all be all dressed up in their the plus fours and the Scottish garbs and the little hats. And, you know, I will know at that point that that is certainly some guy that's got hickory sticks in the back of the carriage there. So I would say not many, but we certainly have the ones that come are very interested in playing Wawa in that fashion.
Chuck, how many members do you have at Wawashkamo?
About 130.
Wow, that's a pretty big number for a nine-hole course on a very sparsely populated island.
And about how many rounds do you have on a average day?
This year has been, you know, one of our busiest, as you
sure.
would know,
yeah.
just from the golf perspective. But, you know, a busy day at Wawa would be 80, 90 players.
Okay.
There are lots of days when, you know, we would 30, 40 rounds in a day would be a nice day. It's certainly a little different than some of the other places that I've been as far as how many rounds we're trying to put through on a golf course. But it is most days, you know, we can get you out if you wanted to come play.
Circling back to the Tom Coyne portion of this,
yep.
we mentioned in the first segment Tom's travails of trying to get to the course, like Gulliver's Travels or something like that. But and then he mentions it in the book that a lot of people didn't believe him, that he didn't know anything about Mackinac Island, didn't know there was cars, didn't have any idea where your course was. And but
right.
those of us that know Tom and know Mackinac Island, I can't imagine that's the only time that's ever happened to you.
No, it happens daily. you know, that I will have somebody who will say, well, I'm not staying on the island today, but I would like to come and play, and I would like your first tee time at 8 o'clock, you know, and I go, well, good luck. Unless you're flying, you have no chance of getting here by that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I'm just driving through,
you know,
and want to play, yeah.
This is the first ferry to 720.
Is, you know, one of my first questions I ask people is, you know, where are you? Where are you staying? There's a lot more to making a tee time at Wawashkamo than, you know, the normal place. And I get people to laugh at the fact that I'm sure that when I talk to my PGA brethren, you know, that people who come to or come to your golf course in a taxi, which isn't very often, but if they ever do, I'm sure that I'm the only one that the taxi poops in the parking lot. So, that's kind of a daily occurrence at Wawa.
Yeah, and we use the horse poop to fertilize the golf course. So.
Oh yeah, we absolutely.
Yeah, or give.
And all the horses, you know, all of their, you know, things that they leave behind are all they're taken to the dump and they're used as fertilizer.
Yeah.
So yeah, they make it into fertilizer.
I have no doubt. And so getting into more particulars, can I get a beer at Wawash, Kamo?
Well, you can get a beer because I would find you one, but we do not have a liquor license at Wawash, Kamo.
Okay.
So it would be something that I'd be more than welcome to find you one, and I'm not going to tell you that the 130 members never have had a drink at Wawa. But if you're looking in the refrigerator at the, you know, for one for me to sell you, no, you kind of have to bring your own.
What other little quirks do people find when they get to Wawashkamo, other than the obvious ones that we've talked about now, Chuck?
When they come up here, number one is they're shocked that it's here. A lot of times, if they're riding by on their bike, and they'll come in and they go, geez, I didn't know you guys were here. And I will say something smart like, well, you know, we've only been here 123 years, so I'm not surprised you haven't found us. But it's kind of out of the way. And that is one of the things that is interesting. They kind of find it interesting that Alex Smith, who designed it, you know, won the U.S. Open in 1906 and 1910. He was kind of a famous guy in his day.
Yeah.
So that whole side of it, as far as the design, is interesting to them. I think that the fact that the golf course hasn't been changed hardly at all, you know, just looking at things that they put in that, you know, you just don't see anymore, like cross bunkers and just some real odd things that you would find in Scotland and stuff like that. I think that the overall, you know, the view, the way it looks, the way it feels, no houses on the golf course, no, you know, it just has a totally different look. And it's really fun to play something that is different. And the greens being so small because they did them by hand, you know, though, all those things together, just the overall ambiance of the place, the old locker room, the old lockers, everything of that nature just makes Wawa a different place. And, you know, you're not going into a resort that was built in 2010 and all of the amenities and all the things and the big golf course and all that kind of thing. This is basically everything that's not. And so you have to have kind of a feeling of that's something you enjoy and want to come play, because it's just a different way to play golf, and it's really fun. We really think it's a kind of a nice, refreshing look back at how golf used to be played.
Chuck, last question here. Tell us a little bit about the origin of the name. I know it has a unique Indian perspective, like a lot of things on Mackinac. And then also, if you could tell us how our guests might be able to book a tee time and your rates.
Sure. Well, Washkamo in Ojibwe, that native language means to walk a crooked path or walk a crooked trail. There was a Native American that lived across the street. When he looked out and watched the guys playing in, you know, 1900, it looked like to him that they were walking a crooked path trying to find their ball. So that was the original, you know, what Washkamo really meant is that they weren't very good at what they were doing. But so that was the name of that's how Washkamo got its name. As to rates, you know, in the middle of the summer here, we're to play nine holes with a cart, it's 55 and 85 for 18. You can always call us at the golf shop at 906-847-3871, and you can check us out online at wawashkamo.com.
Chuck Olson, head golf pro at Wawashkamo, or walking the crooked line. I'll fit in perfectly
there.
They must
have watched me play. Is what happened.
I haven't hit a straight drive in 20 years, so I'll be. You'll probably make me the club president by the time we're out of there. I will be seeing you later on this summer, Chuck. I've been looking forward to playing the course for years, and congratulations on all the new notoriety for Wawashkamo and joining us here on Finding Fairways.
Really appreciate your time, and thank you very much for having me on.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Don Holinsky, director of golf at Forest Dunes. And Don, in totally just separate ways, kind of like your brethren in the north, Wawash Gamal.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, a very interesting story and a perspective and a place that I'd like to get up to and experience. You know, you go to the fort and all the different historical things that are located all throughout downtown. And, you know, that course sounds like it's no different, and probably maybe hear some cannons in your backswing and that, but also at the same time, too, you know, the silence of being in the middle of that island, you know, is...
completely on the back side of the island. I've been past it. Cheryl and I, when we were dating, took a horse ride throughout the whole island, and I didn't know there was a second golf course on there because, you know, the Jewel is pretty front and center. Finally going to be on the island in September and definitely making a trip to Wawash Gamal and immersing myself in that experience. Although, like I said, I'm not playing the hickory.
For sure.
Yeah. Although my dad had some. You know, we had. You know, most guys have a hickory-shafted club or two.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two of them at my house. I never put them up on the wall because you never know if you ever get it back down.
For sure. Knowing that, like Chuck said, the course has never gone any sort of renovation, and you see the architects nowadays with the bulldozers and all the heavy equipment and moving all this earth and that, and when you think back to it, it's just a simple game and creating a layout for to challenge golfers, and that they would have done that there in the late 1800s.
Yeah, in the 1920s. It's really cool, and I did not know about the Alex Scott thing, so that's pretty cool as well. Switching gears and talking about Forest Dunes for a little bit. We just passed the 4th of July holiday, and stupid me, I should have called because it is the only time of the summer that you guys weren't super busy. But now, from now until the closure, it's going to be difficult finding tee times, especially on weekends.
Sure. You know, as Chuck kind of alluded to, and probably all the guests all season on finding fairways, have talked, the industry, the golf industry is just booming right now with Forest Dunes, and particularly the Loop is benefiting from a lot of different coverage, whether it be the rankings from the National Golf Publications or A Course Called America book and Golfers Journal and things like that. So it is really starting to be on the national destination map, which, you know, was the intent all along, and was part of the big risk reward that our then owner Lou Thompson undertook when he signed on with architect Tom Doak to build a reversible course. And kind of like Wawash Gamal, it is a throwback as well in that bump and run style and very minimalistic. And so we are very busy. If you're looking to get a tee time, you know, midweek, Monday through Wednesday is going to be your best bet. And there's always instances where we can fit a foursome on or a twosome. So be sure to give us a call, or you can check online at forestdunesgolf.com anytime. And I would say, just in general, as you're planning your buddy trips for next year, I think you're going to want to see...
start booking them now.
Start getting a jump on that, because you're going to see places filling up pretty quick here.
It's forestdunesgolf.com is the website. Some fun things that have happened recently on tour. We saw Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers take on the Brady-Mickelson duo, which I can't discount the fact that I think Tom Brady had a big influence on Phil and changing some of his mindset, and watching what Brady has done and continue to play well in football. And I think that was a big help for him to win the PGA.
Oh, absolutely, and I know on social media they've had a lot of fun, and Tom would say that, you know, that's my guy, that's my quarterback, and when talking about Phil and that. And the big thing to me is with several of these matches in the match series is, you know, seeing non-professional golfers, you know, out there, and their human element and trying to play a game that we all do as well. And also, you know, getting the behind the scenes look of hearing them chirp at each other and some of the talk.
Oh, there's a lot of talk. I mean, I've played my fair share of smack talk on the golf course. Hopefully you're going good, because if you're not, you're going to get bulldozered by some of those guys. But I mean, the revelation for the match yesterday was Aaron Rodgers can play golf. You know, he said, I haven't played that much. BS, man. This guy saved Bryson DeChambeau's bacon so many times, because, you know, they played in a big ballpark, you know, with huge elevation changes and with the high elevation. So DeChambeau's hitting balls, you know, he hit one drive like 444 yards, something like that, at that elevation. But he was off the reservation a lot. I don't think Rodgers missed the fairway. If he did, it wasn't by much. Not by some of the, and there's clips all over the place. So, Aaron Rodgers essentially won that match. And Bryson DeChambeau rode him. Because on top of that, he made all the putts he had to make.
Yeah, and DeChambeau chipped in on number one, I believe. And then I was reading something else where you're talking about the playing at the elevation and the ball flying. I think he hit an 8-iron for a par 3, 250-yard par 3, hit an 8-iron to 2 feet.
Yeah.
And
Phil hit one, too. I mean, Mickelson's still cranking the ball out there. I wouldn't be surprised if Phil was a factor over in the Open coming up in the next couple of weeks. You know what happens, though, is when the Open's happening the week after next, that's also when that celebrity golf tournament is at Lake Tahoe, and I would watch out for Aaron Rodgers. I really would.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't know what he's going to do about playing football, but he looked really good. I know some of those guys that play in that thing, you know, there's a subset of about 10 guys who are, you know, can challenge in that thing. And the rest of the celebs are here or there. I don't know if, you know, Seth Curry has got a pretty darn good golf game. And athletes, there's a lot of athletes that pick up golf, and they're really good at it. Hockey players, essentially. You have a lot of hockey players come up, play Forest Dunes. And that, you know, it kind of lends itself to good, concise golf swings. But, I might take a look at what the odds are at Aaron Rodgers on FanDuel for the celebrity golf tour.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, he's just a fun character to watch as well. And the one thing, too, with all of his contract talks and things like that, we all know that golf is an escape and a refuge. And so he probably has been playing quite a bit with what's been going on for him, you know, in terms of chatter of what next step and the relationship with the Packers.
Yeah, I it's my personal opinion that he will be back with the Packers. They could still win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's a good football team. And no matter where they trade him, they're not probably winning a Super Bowl. But I don't care. You know, I'm a Lions fan, and if he doesn't play, well, so much better for the Lions, right?
Yeah, as long as he goes somewhere we don't have to play him twice a year.
So you've got the duels coming up in July and August.
Yes, the duel here again at the end of the month, and for those of you that aren't familiar, the duel is the rare opportunity to play both routings of the reversible loop course in the same day. It's a walking-only event, two-person best ball, and it's
sold
a limited
out in,
field,
30, sold out
32,
in April.
32 teams in each one, and it's a 1-10 split start, and then we break for lunch, reset the course, and then everybody goes out and plays the opposite direction. And so of the 96 spots for that, those three events that we have every year, we always open the registration the Tuesday after the Novi Golf Show. And we do it in an online process. And this year, the three events sold out in 9 minutes. So
yeah.
It's quite the spectacle.
Thanks for the heads up, by the way. When we return here on Finding Fairways, we will have a conversation with Wendy Traction, who is the tournament director for the LPG event coming up next weekend in Midland. All that and more when we return on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Wendy Trashen, who is the tournament director of the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational happening in Midland. Good morning, Wendy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for taking the time out. I know things are really getting ramped up. So talk a little bit about the tournament. How long has the event been an LPGA stop now?
Well, this is our second year.
Right.
We had the first event in 2019. And as you can imagine, the event did not take place in Michigan last summer. And so the LPGA has extended it. So we have 4 years, including this year. So after this year, we have 3 more years.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have the gals coming in to Mount Pleasant, Central, Northern Michigan. And we want to help get the word out and get some great crowds out at Midland Country Club.
That would be awesome. We have a wonderful field of players, some of the top of the world. It's a little different style of play than what people are used to. It is a team event. So 144 girls team up into 72 teams, and they play for 4 days, and they alternate between best ball and alternate shot. And so for the girls, it's a very fun event. They love it because it's just a different format, and they can really play off each other's strengths.
When you said playing for 4 days, is there a cut?
There is a cut.
Okay.
So they start play on Wednesday, and the cut will happen Thursday night.
And so the cut down, what will be to top 43 team? What will the number be?
Yeah, it's 44.
Okay. Top 44 and or ties, I would imagine.
Yes.
So we've had some interesting things happening in ladies' golf lately. The Korda sisters have become superstars. Are they going to be playing?
Oh, they are going to be playing, and you're right that they are doing an unbelievable job this season, and we are very grateful that they are coming and they're playing together.
I was going to say, I hope you're not splitting them up.
I mean, that's the girl's choice to, choose who they want to play with. And you know, in the past, I think they did it based a lot on, you know, friendships and, you know, who, they spent a lot of time with. This year, we saw a little bit of a change. And one of the things that we noticed is they enjoyed it so much in 2019, but they're getting a little bit more competitive. And so you saw that in the field. And that press release goes out today. So pay attention to that so then you can see who the girls are and who they're paired with.
Yeah, we're recording this on Thursday, so when you guys and gals listening to Finding Fairways, the pairing should be out and available. What is the website for the event, Wendy?
DowGLBI.com.
DowGLBI.com. I'm assuming you can buy tickets there as well.
We can. It's very easy. We have electronic tickets. Our tickets are very reasonable. It's $10 a day or $40 for the week. We also have an Eat Great Hospitality Trail, which you can purchase, and that is four hospitality suites along the course. And we have local restaurants that come in and take over those suites for the day. And those tickets sell out very fast. So if folks are interested in them, you should buy them now.
Oh, I like that. I like the possibility of an upgrade. Are you going to be at the golf course all day? You might want to do some different food tastings, and I'm sure adult beverages will be available as well.
Adult beverages will be I'm walking the golf course, so you're hearing the carts behind me. Yes, adult beverages will be there as well.
But you're right. I mean, $10 a day to see the greatest gals on the planet playing golf right in our own backyard is really a bargain.
Yes, and so one of the things that's important for ticket holders to know is there is no parking on site, but we are lucky to have the Great Lake Loon Stadium in our community, and they are away next week. So we have parking over at the Dow Diamond, and it's $5 a day, and then we have shuttle buses running from 7 o'clock in the morning until 7 p.m. at night.
Wendy, for those that haven't played it or really haven't seen it unless they were watching in 2019, talk a bit about Midland Country Club.
Well, Midland Country Club is a gem. It looks like it's right out of the East Coast with the way it was built. It's one of the most beautiful clubhouses, and the LPGA has said that over the last few years. Our courses, especially with all the rain we've had, is absolutely pristine.
Right.
And we are in the final stages of the build. And so, it makes your heart sing when you see this because we've been working very hard over the last 2 years. But the club has a beautiful outdoor patio area. We have Diamond Club suites, which this year not only have A, B, and C, but we have a skybox. So on A, we're going a double-decker. We have a public hospitality area, which is new for this year. One of the things that we really wanted to focus on was making sure that all the fans had ample room to be able to come and sit and watch golf and eat and drink. The other thing that we're very proud of is we have a veterans tent, and so all vets can come in for free and bring a guest as long as they have their credentials and driver's license, and they will also be able to eat and drink in that vet area for free as well. And so trying to make that as accessible, and that's been the number one call I've had since March, are all the vets calling me and getting more information about the tournament. So I'm very happy that we make that accessible for those people.
Well, that'll be great information for all the listeners that we have for Finding Fairways here in Northern Michigan. So many veterans here, and a lot of veterans turning to golf recently. So I think that is a wonderful idea, and I bet you're going to get a lot of veterans taking advantage of that. We mentioned the Korda sisters playing together. Any other noteworthy teams that you want to give a shout-out to or just individual players?
Well, we have Lexi coming again this year, and so that's awesome for us. And so, she always brings a good group of fans.
Yep.
But I think until we release the slate of players, which we're doing, then, that's kind of the fun of it. It's kind of keeping it all quiet until that goes public. So, unbelievable that, one of the biggest things is when we started seeing the players that signed up, how proud we were that it was the top players in the world. And those girls have been working hard, given the fact that in 2020, their schedule was cut in half. They had 20 tournaments that they played, but they have been hitting it hard and have been really eating up the course. And we are so thrilled to have them come here to the middle of Michigan.
We are excited as well. Wendy Trashin from the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational happening next week at Midland Country Club. Go to Dow GLBI for tickets, information, and those great hospitality deals as well. Wendy, best of luck. Looks like the weather will be great next week.
We're hoping for great weather. See ya.
Thank you, Wendy. That's going to do it for this episode of Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio. Thanks to carlsgolfland.com. As we like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be back with you next week. It's time to check in with our good friends at Boyne Golf. Ken Griffin's on the phone. And Ken, you've been telling me for a while now of the changes that you made to the Moore. I had a great opportunity to play it last Sunday, and the course is so much more fun to play. Kudos on the restoration there.
Thanks. Yeah, we were talking subtle but significant, and Kevin Frisch and I have been talking about it. He came out and played it too. And it's just, you may not realize it looking at it, but boy, when you get done with your round, it's a lot more relaxing round, and you've got way more shot options just because of the way we've changed some of the approaches, and especially a lot of it cuts around the green and making it easier to not just have a chip out of rough, but to be able to putt it or chip it or bump around. You just have more options. It's just a more enjoyable round.
And in tremendous shape as well. So, all the golf courses are beautiful. Of course, even more lush now that we've gotten a whole bunch of rain.
Yeah, no, we got some rain. That really helped the rough situation out. The guys have been doing a great job of keeping the fairways very playable. And rain this week, but a great forecast for this weekend coming up. So should be able to enjoy it. And our tee sheets are filling up. But, one of the advantages of having 10 courses is that we can usually find an open tee time for you somewhere. And, from playing a variety of courses. Even if your favorite course isn't available, we maintain those standards across all 10, so you're going to have a great golf experience like you had on the Moor last week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As I said, meticulously maintained, a nice pace of play. It was just a great round of golf on a Sunday. I only found out about it by navigating the BoyneGolf.com website. You can see when tee times are available. It's such an easy site to use.
Talking about making things easier, we've been talking about TrackMan Range the last couple of weeks. And, you know, whether you want to enjoy the challenge or get better or use it to socialize for around golf for an hour or two with friends, we made it easier than ever to book the TrackMan Range experience. So now you can book it online at BoyneGolf.com right from our homepage too.
Not only that, I know our favorite golf season is coming up and you want to get ahead of the crowd and book your fall golf packages at Boyne.
Yeah, we're starting to see an increase in bookings into September. We got a lot of great golf left in July and August, but don't forget about fall because those tee times are going to book up, so get it while there's a good selection and the best rate. And like you said, for information on courses, rates, or availability, just visit BoyneGolf.com.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Jerry.